This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with John Brooks from Zork. Zork make a new closure that's been going now for, what, 4 years. How are you, John?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, Chris. Nice to meet you.
It's 4 years you've been going now?
4 years since we started the business. Yeah. And it's been a long story, but you know, now we're in production, we're starting to get some runs on the board, and it's been good fun.
So how did you guys come up with this concept of a Zork?
I met my co-founder, Connor McKenna, about 4.5 years ago now. And he was working in the wine industry, and he was faced with the very start of screw caps coming into the wine industry. And there was a lot of people asking the question of, isn't there another closure beside a screw cap to use? And that's when he had the inspiration one night, when he more or less absentmindedly dropped a syringe in the top of a wine bottle after giving his daughter some medicine. And he looked at that and he thought, oh, maybe we can still make a plastic closure here that gives everything that a screw cap does, but still gives you the pop. You don't lose the pop. And that was sort of the essence of the idea. And I met Connor very soon after that moment and basically took his idea, his inspiration, and turned it into the closure that we have today.
You had a few years of development, I presume?
Yeah, we had a couple of years of developing the closure, obviously raising money to be able to do it. It takes a lot of cash to do this. Yeah. And we've been in production. We sold our first Zorks about 2 years ago, but really only in full sort of in high volume production for just over 12 months.
And you guys are based in Adelaide?
Yep, Adelaide, South Australia, the heart of the wine industry in Australia. If there was ever a new invention to come into the wine industry, it'd come out of the heartland of the wine industry, and I guess that's where we've come from. So.
What is the advantage of a Zork over a Stelvin or a Cork?
It really depends what you're looking for in a wine closure. Every closure has a compromise. Nothing is ever going to be everything to everybody. Corks, primarily this closure was developed to solve the problems of cork taint and oxidation in an alternative that wasn't screw cap. Screw cap has always had a perception in the marketplace of cheap wine. It's a good closure. It preserves wine very well. But when you're selling a closure into a marketplace, it's a lot of it's about how people perceive it and how well it's going to be received by people who don't completely understand the technical merits, because they've seen it on cheap wine and flagons and other stuff in the past, so they make that immediate association. We felt the wine industry was looking for a unique closure that was designed specifically for the wine industry, specifically for wine drinkers, to address the issues of wine preservation in the bottle, wine consumption, the wine opening experience, and we think that's what we've put together, is a unique closure. It preserves a lot of the wine opening experience of a cork. It preserves your wine with the same sort of consistency that a screw cap does.
And the way the Zork works, you've got to sort of peel it off and then open it up, don't you?
Yeah, Zork's made of three parts. It's a plastic cap that snaps over the outside of a standard cork mouth bottle and holds the cap down onto the bottle securely. It has a plunger, which is a bit like a hollow stopper cork, that fits inside the mouth of the bottle. And in between, the important part is an aluminium foil that is welded between the two parts, so it joins all of the three parts together. That foil is the oxygen barrier that prevents oxygen passing through plastic. A lot of people don't realise that it's not just oxygen coming down the side of a cork between the bottle and the glass. It actually transmits through the material, transfuses through the material. Oxygen doesn't pass through foil. It's dense enough to prevent that. And it's that barrier that we have inside the cap that gives us our quality oxygen barrier that we have in our closure. A very consistent barrier, which is important for winemakers, because if you're going to make a bottle of wine, you want to use one closure, you want to know you're going to get the same performance out of the same wine all the time. Yeah. And it's one of the big problems with cork is it's a natural product, natural inconsistencies. Every cork is going to be slightly different.
That foil, which I must admit I hadn't quite realised when I've seen pictures of Zork before, that's the same sort of technology they use in Stelvin to give
it's slightly different material, but they use a metal barrier, and that provides the quality oxygen barrier.
So one of the things that a lot of people don't like about Stelvin is the lack of the pop.
Yep.
Do you want to give us a quick demonstration of how you open one of these new corks?
Sure, not a problem.
So it's very simple. You just grab the tab
and peel the tab.
Peel the tab off.
Yep.
And then you can pull the closure out easily, and once you've poured yourself a glass of wine, it's very easy to take the closure and push it back into the top of the bottle.
Sealing the bottle. Obviously, if the bottle's too empty, you're not going to keep the wine for too long.
No,
it's more of a convenience reseal. You know, this is one of the compromises of Zork. It's not going to screw on tight like a screw cap does. But most of the time, you've opened a bottle of wine, you're going to drink it. It's basically you're between pours. So behind a bar in a restaurant, for example, you'd reseal it, put it behind the bar. It keeps the opening of the bottle clean, stops any bugs or spiders crawling in, whatever.
Yeah.
But once you've opened the closure, you've let air into the bottle. There's so much oxygen you've let in there anyway. Your wine is now on the path to oxidation. Yeah. It's really just, you know, keeping it clean and maybe minor spillages or something like that.
You guys published a technical report recently about the closure.
Yeah.
And I had a look at some of the graphs, which are on your website at www.zork.com.au, if anybody wants to have a look at that. It shows the amount of sulfur dioxide, which is used in the winemaking process to stop the wine turn oxidizing. The free sulfur dioxide drops quite a bit initially, whereas in a Stelvin it drops quite gradually in all the other closures. What's causing that?
Our tests show that if you bottle the same wine with the same SO2 levels, the sulfur dioxide, which is a preservative in the wine, is gradually consumed because even Stelvin is not a perfect barrier to oxygen. It has an oxygen transmission level. Mm-hmm. So oxygen will very slowly come in through a Stelvin, and your sulfur dioxide will slowly be consumed over time, but many years.
Yeah.
With Zork, we have an initial drop for the first 30 to 60 days, and that's caused by the hollow plunger has air in it.
Yeah.
It's manufactured at atmospheric pressure. About 21% of what's inside that space is oxygen, and that oxygen passes through the end of the plunger and dissolves into the wine and drops your SO2 level. So you get a drop of about 5 or 6 milligrams per litre of sulfur dioxide. And then you see the foil seal kicks in. Sulfur dioxide levels track along a very similar path to what they do with screw cap after that.
That's sort of how the sulfur dioxide gets consumed by the oxygen getting into the wine, really.
That's
determines
right.
The shelf life of the wine itself.
That's right, yeah. That's what defines the shelf life. As you'll see with corks, you know, you can get some good corks that last for a long time if they've been stored well. You can get some bad corks that just randomly oxidize your wine in a number of months.
And I suppose also with corks, if you've got to keep the bottle on the side to keep the cork moist to create that seal. If you keep
a
bottle of wine upright, a normal corked wine upright, it'll dry out, lots of oxygen in, so your wine will get ruined. You don't have that problem with the Zork at all?
No, we don't have that problem with the Zork. And you're right, it's keeping the cork material wet improves its oxygen barrier properties. It also keeps it swollen, so it seals better against the glass. So it's much better to store your cork bottles lying down. Zork is a food grade polymer that doesn't absorb any moisture. It's not hydroscopic, is the term we use in the industry. So once you put a Zork on, you can stand it up, lay it down, tip it on its side,
do
whatever you like to it. Yeah. It's a really tough closure. And it's really versatile. You don't have to lay your bottles down to let the cork swell.
How does it compare to, say, a plastic cork in terms of how long the wine can stay in the bottle without it oxidizing, and also compared to maybe a Stelvin closure?
Obviously, different wines have different levels and they oxidize at different rates because it's not just the sulfur dioxide that causes the oxidation of the wine. And I'm reluctant to sort of speak technically about the performance of other people's closures.
Sure.
But in general terms, you'll find that synthetic closures have a relatively short shelf life, you know, 1 to 2 years, depending on which manufacturer's closure you use. Screw caps have a very long shelf life. You know, there are people drinking bottles of wine that have been down for 30 years under a screw cap, and they're still good, which shows you that they do develop over time, but they develop very slowly. I describe screw cap as like a time capsule for your wine. You pretty much get out of it what you put into the bottle.
Yeah.
Your wines do develop slowly over time, but very slowly. And
yeah.
And how long do you want to wait for your wine to be at a drinkable level? This is my question.
Yeah. Also, the oxygen level helps the development, isn't it? So Stelvins keep a lot of oxygen out, so it slows the development
down. That's what extends the shelf life.
And the acid levels as well. The wine, Stelvins quite good at keeping wines quite fresh with crisp acidity.
Yes, it holds the acidity, that's correct.
Whereas you guys, maybe a wee bit less so?
Yeah, because of the more oxidative development process we get out of a Zork, you get different flavours. After about 3 or 4 years, you'll taste a significant difference in the same wine if you had a sort of a comparison benchmark between a Zork and a screw cap bottle of wine. A cork, you'll get a difference, even if it's the same wine, but you'll get a bottle variation from cork to cork, essentially.
Yeah, I know. And 10 bottles, you get three different...
Yeah, that's right. You get 3 or 4 different wines. And that's where the consistency is important. This way, we can report the facts of how our closure works, and it's up to the winemaker to decide whether this is what they want for their wine.
What sort of flavour development are you getting compared to, say, a Stelvin or a cork?
In the testing we've done, we didn't benchmark against cork, unfortunately. I wish now that we had. We were benchmarking against screw cap. We're finding that we're getting... we have a chap, Peter Leskey, who's a winemaker at Nepenthe Wines, and he's been essentially translating the technical report stuff into a more sort of industry or layman's terms for me. And he describes it as a more oxidative development. So you get some more honey aromas and flavours coming out in the wine, whereas under the screw cap you're getting sharper characters, as you say, more acidity, citrusy type stuff. But unfortunately they're also picking up more reductive type characters, which is... where your wine ages in an unoxidated environment, whereas our wine is aging in a more oxidative environment, and that's why you're getting a difference.
Okay, and corks age in a more oxidative environment.
Corks age in a much more oxidative environment.
So you would say your product's closer to maybe the way the cork ages?
Definitely. It's taken us sort of really 2 years to get the data on this, but wine under Zork tends to age your wine... much more like a good quality, very consistent cork, unlike a screw cap. Your wine will be different, but it's up to the winemaker to choose whether, you know, what they want for their wine.
Sure.
And so that's why we're finding, it's, you know, some people are saying, we'll put screw cap on our whites, but we'll put a Zork on our reds because we want a little bit more of that kind of development character in our reds.
Sure.
And it's interesting to see what how people are using our closure in the industry.
How's the closure been accepted? What's your biggest market for the sale of Zork? You said you've been selling it for now for about 2 years?
About 2 years, but really sort of commercially for, you know, 1 to 1.5 years. We were a little late getting started with the whole idea on this, and screw cap has sort of had the jump on us in Australia, and it's really taken off here. That's been good and bad for us. It's been good in the way that it's opened the market, opened people's eyes to alternatives to cork. It's been good that they brought in screw capping equipment and we put a Zork on with modified screw capping equipment.
Keeps
our costs down because our barrier to entries have been lower. So that's all been a real benefit for us. It's also brought this debate about convenience. You know, how do you open a bottle of wine without a corkscrew? You either use a screw cap or a Zork. We found that most of the people in Australia who are picking it up to put in their wines to take to markets where screw cap isn't as readily accepted like it is in New Zealand or Australia.
Such as
the US. The US is there at that point where Australia was about 4 or 5 years ago, where screw caps are coming in. They're seeing what it can do to the wines, what it can do to the market. Some people are concerned about it, other people are not. But they're looking at it. They're definitely playing with it, and they're getting definitely more and more accepted into the market. But they also feel that there's no other choice. It's either have a cork or I have a screw cap. Don't I have a choice on this? You know,
yeah.
Isn't there something else? And then when they find Zork, they go, ha, now this is cool. This is different. It doesn't have the perception of baggage that screw cap does, and it's not a cork, and it's specifically designed for wine. You don't see it on any other closure. You don't see it on ketchup or vinegar or olive oil or anything like this, so it doesn't carry that sort of generic perceptions that go with it. It's special. Wine is a special product. And it needs, we believe, a special closure for it. So our two major customers in Australia are putting on all of their export brands, starting to go to the UK. We heard of our first container of product going to the UK the other day, which is fantastic. We've got Don Sebastiani and Sons. They're the 10th largest winery in the US, and they're using it on 4 or 5 new brands now that they have that are just starting to hit the shelves out there and getting fantastic response from the market. You know, they launched one brand into California, LBV, California alone, and in the first 6 months it's taken off so well, they're now launching it across the whole country and it's just going gangbusters for them. So they've really seen the marketing advantage of using an innovative closure, consumer-friendly closure.
Any other countries apart from the US?
We're getting a lot of interest in Asia for our customers. Again, we tend to follow our customers. We put it on wine and they take it to other places. Asia has been really receptive. A very similar reason, but probably because there's the perceptions of screw cap in Asia are even sort of worse than they are in the US. It's a fairly new thing for Asians to drink wine. A lot of them in China still mix Coke with their wine. So when they see a bottle with a screw cap on, they immediately have these associations. Oh, we've got sort of some cheap wine. They're trying to push our cheap wine up here. And while Australians and all winemakers are doing it for the right reasons, you have to do things that are ready for the market to accept. So that's why the reception of when they see a Zork on, they go, oh, well, I understand it's not a cork and they've explained to me why. Okay, I look at this and I see it and I use it and I can peel it off and I can pull it out and I can put it back in. It's so easy, you don't need a corkscrew. Hey, this is really cool, I use it. It doesn't have the baggage. And we're now finding a lot of our customers are coming to us and saying, hey, my Asian buyers will only take their wine if it has a Zork on it. That's fantastic for us because now the closure is becoming responsible for our customers making sales.
I haven't seen a lot of Zorks in the UK. In fact, I hadn't seen any Zorks in the UK. And I know southern screw caps are pretty well accepted there. Have you had much interest from Europe?
We're starting to get some real interest in Europe. We recently just got our order for our first container load of Zorks going to Italy. We've had several people in, small people in France and Germany, taking some small orders and stocking them. We have a distributor in Greece. We have a distributor in the UK who's shipping small amounts around the place. These things take time for people to sort of hear what's about and test them for themselves and get some confidence in the closure. It's one of the difficult things that we've had. You know, someone wants to test a Zork, they put it on a bottle, they put it down for 2 years and they come back in 2 years and say, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And we're only just starting to reach that point in the US with the majors over there where they've just getting through their 2 years worth of testing and now they're starting to come back and talk business to us.
One thing about closures that I never really got my head around was the costings and the different prices. Is it a cheap closure compared to a cork or is it more expensive? How does the whole pricing work?
It's all sort of a mid-range price closure. We target the closure to work on wines that are in Aussie dollars between $10 and $25 range.
Yeah.
So they're not your two buck chucks or you know whatever.
You're looking at £4 to £7.
Yeah, £4 to £7, I guess. In America, it's about from the $8 US to $20 US range.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to be accepted on wines that are much higher than that because they're more traditional. And sort of they expect a traditional closure on them. We're not in a position to price ourselves at synthetic cork levels. We're a much more technical and higher performing closure than a synthetic cork.
So you're a bit more expensive than
synthetic. We're more expensive than a synthetic. We're also a bit more expensive than a screw cap.
Yeah.
Generally, you find synthetics are around, again in Aussie dollar terms, sort of under 10 cents or around the 10 cent mark. You find screw caps are around the sort of the 13 to 14 cent mark. Zork sits above that, ranging between sort of just below 20 to just below 30. Obviously, it depends on your volumes. And you can buy a cork. Well, the technical corks or the twin tops so tend to be around the 10 cent mark, 10 to 12 cent mark. But you can buy a natural cork to 25 cents or even the really high quality ones, you know, 40 cents and above. And then, of course, with any of the cork products, you need to pay for a capsule to go over it. And they can vary between 3 and 15 cents, depending on the materials you use and how well they're decorated and so forth. So it's not always an easy shopping list when someone asks those questions.
Yeah, sure. But I suppose you also, you've got no risk of any cork taint?
We have no risk of cork taint, no risk of scalping If people don't know that term, that's when you sort of taint is when you put flavours into the wine. Scalping is when you absorb flavours out of the wine. Sure. Our product has been seriously tested.
What's the worst for scalping? You know, removing, stripping flavours out of the wine.
Actually, cooks pretty bad.
Yeah.
It does both. It puts flavours in. It takes flavours out. But people are sort of so used to how cork affects flavours of wine, yeah. It becomes part of the wine in many ways.
I studied ages ago about Riesling. You know, you get that oiliness and Riesling, and they compared Stelvin's plastic cork closures and corks.
Yep.
And the oiliness flavour was being stripped out quite heavily by the cork was the worst one, followed by the plastic closure and then the Stelvin.
Yeah.
Was the least.
Yes.
I presume you'd be performing similarly to that?
No. Well, while we use, in many ways, a similar material to a synthetic cork, a synthetic cork is a foamed block of plastic. It's like a big, thick sponge. Lots of surface area and lots of material to absorb flavours and aromas. Zork is, as I said, has a similar material, but it has the end of the cork or end of the plunger is in contact with the wine, but it's only 1 millimetre thin, and it's a solid material, it's not foamed. So it won't absorb anywhere near the amount of aroma or flavours that a synthetic cork will, to a point where it's imperceptible, the
so
difference
it's
that it makes.
A screw cap.
It's much more like a screw cap. We've had 2 years worth of reports where the AWRI has done the sensory work on it, and we have never once had any question about absorbing flavours or aromas. We've actually done more detailed testing of that with GCMS testing and gas chromatograph analysis, and done all of that analysis. Right up in the early days, we tested a whole lot of materials, and of course we've picked the one that had, you know, virtually zero effect on the wine at all.
What are your issues associated with the closure? You know, what's stopping you guys becoming the market leaders?
Well, so probably the hardest thing was a lot of people are waiting around to be second. Everybody wants to be first to be second. It's hard to find people that want to, are ready to be first to be first. Mm-hmm. So people are waiting for somebody else to move. And generally, everybody looks up to the next biggest guy. And so it's the people at the top. When they move, so many other people below them will say, right, if they've got confidence, I've got confidence, and we'll go. For the bigger producers, they want to test the closure for at least 2 years. Yeah. We've only just completed our own testing for 2 years. And so the majors, particularly in Australia and the US, are just starting to get through their 2 years' worth of testing. I'm pretty confident that we're going to start seeing some brands from these customers on the shelf soon. And my feeling is that that will create this domino effect, and there'll be a lot of other people who follow that lead. So just waiting for the clock to tick has been a most frustrating one. But the second thing is perceptions of plastic. People think, look, it's all, oh, it's another plastic stopper. They don't realise that inside, the bit you can't see is the foil that does all of the work. And so when we're at trade shows, we often cut them in half and give people half a Zork so they can see what's inside and see how it works. And it's that foil that really makes a Zork what a Zork is and does the work. So if anybody wants to cut one in half and have a look at it, go for it, you know.
Well, thanks very much, John. That's been really interesting.
Pleasure, Chris.